The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, I'm sure you are well aware that the country is experiencing a national gridlock today due to a national fuel protest taking place over spiralling diesel, petrol and home heating oil prices due to the war in Iran. All day trucks and tractors have been arriving in Dublin city centre from various corners of the country and have parked on O'Connell Street, blocking main routes for commuters and public transport. Have a little listen to what Sinn Féin's Matt Carthy and Aonthu's Pádraig Tobin said today when addressing the protesters gathered outside the GPO.
So what's actually needed now is for the Dáil to be sitting and doing its job, passing the legislation, ensuring that costs are reduced. Because as you came from rural parts of this country, you would have noticed that the roads are in a deplorable state. You would have noticed that every single time that you do something in relation to your car or your tractor or your vehicle that you have no option but to use, that there is government taxation, government charges, that this government is benefiting from the crisis.
For sure, the war in Iran has created problems for the price of petrol and diesel. But the biggest impact on the price of petrol and diesel at the moment is government taxes. The biggest impact by far. For every single litre of petrol or diesel that you purchase, 60% of it is going into the government pockets. Think about this for a moment. The government are getting more money than the whole supply chain for fuel. To take fuel from the bottom of the North Sea, to raise it up, to process it, to bring it to Ireland, to refine it, to sell it at the forecourts, that gets less money, every litre, than government taxes. The government are talking about price gouging at the moment. The government are tax gouging the people of Ireland when it comes to fuel in this country.
And I'm joined now by Nisha O'Clerule, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North. Good evening to you, Deputy. You are tax gouging the people. You take more money from diesel and petrol than those who actually produce it or deliver it.
Good evening, Ciara. And it wouldn't be like Matt or Pádraig to do a little bit of political opportunism there. And that's simply not true. You know, we need to have a secure source of revenue in the country, you know, and we could make the argument.
Well, it is factually true that excise amounts to about 60 pence in the euro in terms of what people spend on their fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, but we also have to look at what that funds. It funds roads, it funds various elements of our public infrastructure. And are we just going to say that we're going to remove taxes on fuel and remove taxes on different elements of society when we don't like it? Like, I completely understand the frustration of hauliers or farmers, of commuters, particularly with the cost of diesel and with petrol. But the government have taken action here. And what we have to be really cognizant of, if we were to take additional measures now, and Trump, for example, like he is quoted, has said a whole civilization will die tonight. We are on the brink, possibly, of World War III. Like, we have to be prepared for the worst, and we cannot make knee-jerk reactions. What we're trying to do is to be as prudent as possible, not just in the short term, but in the medium term and the long term. And heaven forbid, if this continues on, and the prices will continue to increase over the next year, particularly if we look at November time, at December time, when the weather gets particularly bad, and home heating oil will be extremely expensive, as will petrol and diesel. We have to be able to take measures at that stage. If we were to expend all of our capital at this stage,
but it is true, Nisha, it's true that the government has gotten a windfall out of this, that as prices climb at the pump, as they go up, and maybe what people were filling their car for before, maybe you might say 80 euros or something, now they're spending 110. That extra 30 quid, you're getting 60% of all that. So you're getting a windfall out of that. Could that not be given back in greater numbers than was previously done with the cuts to excise that you've made?
I think you know, the terms like windfall is not accurate. You know, what we're dealing with here, there's a tax on everything in the state, and particularly on elements with carbon, such as petrol, diesel, kerosene, etc. And, you know, I'm not saying that there won't be further cuts down the line, and everything is being considered by government at this stage. But we're literally at the beginning of this war, and we've no idea, to be brutally honest, how bad things can be. And there's different modelling we can do in terms of how bad the war can get. But under the circumstances we're at now, things will certainly get better because the oil that's reaching the country now left before the war. There is still oil to arrive since the war began, and obviously oil that hasn't been able to leave. So we're going to see severe energy, I suppose, disruption in the coming months, and we have to be prepared
for
that. All right,
let's take it that maybe what you're saying is correct, that we need to keep our powder dry, that we are at the start of this thing. It could get very much worse before it gets better, and throwing money at it now might seem foolish later on. Does that mean those protesters should just go home and stop holding the city centre of Dublin here to ransom? It took half our team 3 hours to get to work this morning.
No, and look, I understand, as I said, I completely understand the frustration. Particularly, I met an agricultural contractor only last week, and it is extremely difficult for him, particularly going into silage season. And I do think we need to look at particular elements around green diesel, white diesel, particularly for that section. And the IRHA, so the road hauliers, are still in discussions with the government on that. And there has been measures announced for the road hauliers already, and I'm sure there will be further discussions around that. So I'm not saying people should just go home. I completely understand the frustration, but we have to be prudent here. We can't just make knee-jerk
reactions. You've made certain mitigations for hauliers, and now you're suggesting, I think we're talking about green diesel, maybe for the agri sector or the construction sector. That's very hard on the ordinary citizen who maybe lives quite far and commutes quite far. They're hearing that farmers are going to get a pass on this, construction people are going to get a pass on this, hauliers are getting a pass on this, but their fuel bills, and they have to drive long distances to their ordinary, maybe low paid retail job, that they're going to be getting no pass on this, and they're going to be the ones really, they might think, as per usual, bearing the brunt.
Well, look what's been announced already. 15 cent off a litre of diesel, 20 cent off a litre of, 15 cent off a litre of petrol and 20 cent off a litre of diesel, as well as the VAT reduction on energy to 9% in the last budget. So, and notwithstanding that, the fuel allowance being extended, the fuel allowance rate being increased as well, like, there has been measures taken for ordinary people. But Ciara, like, we need to have an honest conversation here as well. If diesel and petrol, for example, goes up to €6 a litre, right? Do we expect the government to essentially step in there on all circumstances? Like, the government, we have to be honest. Do we want the government, and by proxy, which is all of us, right, the state and the state spend, to be on the hook for absolutely everything? Yes, the government can be on the hook for certain measures, for certain increases, but we have to be realistic about this. We cannot spend our entire budget surplus, for example, on helping people with energy prices.
Do you think it's fair that the city centre in Dublin is being brought to a standstill by this? Many of them also affected by the energy crisis, many of them trying, you know, in retail or in small businesses around the city, trying to go about, you know, keeping their own heads above water financially in terms of their jobs and their businesses, and unable to do so because of this.
Yeah, look, I'm a commuter as well, and as a commuter long before I was a TD, and I've been impacted by these on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, particularly cognizant of people that might have sick people at home or small babies at home, and how difficult it is for them to get back. So I do think any of these protests have to be extremely cognizant of that. What I would always say with these type of protests is that they don't take up, within a dual carriageway in the M4 or the M7, they only take up one lane. Now, you might say that might...
But we heard about ambulances this morning trying to get up the hard shoulder past some of these protesters that were travelling, obviously, with sick people on board.
Yeah, and as far as I'm aware, in fairness to the protesters, they have allowed ambulances, etc., to get up the hard shoulders. And if they haven't in certain circumstances, I think that's completely wrong. And I think those protesters need to reflect on that. So people have a right to protest, and think we need to appreciate that. But we also have to bear in mind the impact that that has on other people as well.
Nisha, obviously energy security is one of the things that people keep talking about at the moment, and it's very clear that we do not have it in this country. We do not have energy security, we do not have energy sovereignty. We are looking obviously at renewables, and many people would support that, but we are hearing that the Cabinet is discussing actively, and we will be coming back to this later on in the show, the use of nuclear fuels here. Obviously they've been banned since 1999, that we aren't allowed to use them within the island of Ireland, although we do import some from other nuclear energy providers elsewhere. What is being said by government, and what is your view on whether or not we should be talking about nuclear now? It would give us very possibly a green form of energy, clean, sustainable, and less reliance on places like the Middle East, which clearly has not proved to be a particularly secure strategy.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head already, Ciara. And you know, I'm a relatively new TD, as elected last Dáil. I've raised nuclear on a number of occasions, both in the Dáil and I'm on the Committee for Climate, Environment and Energy, and I've raised it there as well. And as you said, you know, it is banned. Even the research around nuclear energy by the state is banned under the Electricity Regulation Act in 1999, Section 18. And what I'm asking for essentially is a review of that particular section so that we can actually research SMRs, small modular reactors. And the thing is, like, these SMRs, they're about the size of a large bus or the size of a small house. Like, one SMR, a 300 megawatt SMR, could supply electricity to 2.1 million households. So that's a quarter of the households in the country. And if we look at all that's happening in the Middle East and, you know, what we're seeing with the protests today as a prime example, we have no energy security on this island. For example, if our gas network between the UK and Ireland were to be cut, we only have 10 days gas reserve. We don't have an LNG terminal built yet. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying let's build nuclear tomorrow. What I'm saying is we need to have the conversation. We need to have the debate and we need to allow the state to actually research it properly. Like other countries around Europe, in the US, in Canada, in China, most countries in the world are actually looking at SMRs as a possible form of energy moving into the future. And I'm just trying to say we need to get that conversation started. We need to be honest with it. We can't all go nuclear once the word nuclear is mentioned and actually have an open mind around it. As I said, these are small units and they're not dangerous the way, you know, we think of Chernobyl, we think of large kind of nuclear plants around the world or even in The Simpsons. What we're looking at here is literally something the size of a bus, and they are so safe that essentially they switch off. A question that comes up is around, obviously around the nuclear waste, which is minimal with an SMR, but with larger countries like the UK and France, I'm sure we could do a deal with them and we could essentially pay for them to remove our nuclear waste. But what we need to be honest about as well is we're already importing nuclear energy from the UK via Wales, and with the Celtic interconnector we'd be importing 70% of that electricity from France as well. So, you know, it's fine enough, it's good enough in other countries, but just not here.
All right, look, thank you very much for joining us on all of that. That is Nisha O'Carroll there, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.